Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, actually, it's Becky Brown. I'm so glad to be with you today on
We're
this
glad
Christmas
to be with
Eve.
You.
Isn't it fun? I'm joined by Dave Stoop and
it's
Jill
Christmas
Hubbard.
Eve. Oh, I have bells
it
on.
It is. And I was just curious, what do you all do to celebrate this incredible holiday?
Well, we have dinner on Christmas Eve, and we have the grandkids read the Christmas story and read the crucifixion and resurrection. Connect the beginning with the end, and then we have
that's cool.
Then we have communion as a family.
I love
as
that.
A way to celebrate the reality.
Wow, Dave!
There's a reason for Christmas.
I feel inspired. I need to change my routine because it consists of like Christmas pajamas. You know,
we bought silver.
Very spiritual
after church. After church,
we bought silver antique silver wedding goblets. Jewish wedding goblets, and we have a silver plate, and we have three of them, one for each of our sons. When we die, they each have one, and hopefully the tradition continues.
I love that so much. Okay, Jill, top that. I don't think
I can't. We go to church.
Okay,
and then,
well, there's
and then
a start.
We have, you know, we have a dinner.
And they celebrate.
Sorts, and then
and
we.
They, anybody is with Jill's family on Christmas Eve knows how to celebrate.
Yeah, we celebrate. But we take lots of pictures in front
of the tree in the fireplace
because I have, you know, kind of teenagers, young adults, so they're still into the whole picture thing. And
that's fun. I think, and you were just talking about, you know, getting a tree and putting it up and that. And I was saying our tree is like in its 20th year. And it's not a real tree. I mean, it's real because it's in in the living room. But we cut off the lights after a few years because they all burn out. But it's got all its own lights.
It's
got a history of its own. So that's our tradition. Keep using the same fake tree.
I'm still doing a real tree.
It works.
I'm still trying to keep them alive.
And, you know, on this day, I know there are so many churches that are having multiple Christmas Eve services, and I would encourage you, if you haven't made a decision to go to church on Christmas Eve, you're missing out.
Yeah.
That would be a great tradition to start. And
Becky, even if you don't have lots of family around,
right.
Go be part of a church family. And I know that can be hard, and some people say, well, I don't want to go alone. You know, find a friend or go alone. Because,
you know, one of the greatest things. Well, yeah, and you know, the greatest thing about Christmas Eve services, there's a lot of visitors. There's a lot of people that don't know anybody because they might be in town with family, or this may be the one time of the year that they go to church, which is great. You got to start somewhere. But I think just the pause to remind all of us what we're celebrating. And
right.
I love, Dave, what you said, you know, from the birth to the resurrection.
Yeah.
The life of Christ has changed all of us, and it is something to be celebrated. And even in the Eucharist and in coming together at the table to celebrate is really powerful in the life of a believer, but also it's for everybody. And this is such a great I know that Easter is probably the big holiday for us, but let's not let Christmas go by.
Well, connect it to Christmas, and it gives extra meaning to Christmas.
Exactly. That's what we're all here for.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so we're taking calls today. Give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. We are so glad to be with you and just thankful for this year to celebrate again. You know, our biggest goal here at New Life is to help people get the help they need. We have so many resources, whether it's a book or a counselor. It could be pointing you in the direction of a life recovery group or our workshops. You know, we have Every Man's Battle somewhere every month. Our next one will be in Washington, D.C. We have our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop that will be in Orange County, California in February. It's February 14th. What a great way to spend Valentine's Day. But whatever it is that you need, we can help. Give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And here we are.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're so glad that you're here. And we're going to go to the calls in just a second. Let's talk to Lisa, who's calling from KKLA. Hey, Lisa. Oh, where'd she go? Well, we lost Lisa. Let's talk to Anna. How about Anna? Let's see if we can get her. Hey, Anna, how are you today?
Well, I would say I'm okay, but I'd be lying.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh. How can we help you?
Well, I just need to know how to help my son figure out how to be an example and a man that he needs to teach his son to be at this time.
So you're having issues with this, your son and grandson? Is that what you're saying?
Real quick, my son was awarded custody of his 15-year-old.
Okay.
It's been a long, very long custody battle, you know, visitation, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
My grandson tried to commit suicide several times last year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
He's 15. And he's been on a lot of different medications and just a lot of chaos in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, fast forward, my son, I granted custody somewhat, I believe, in June, perhaps, of this year. And at that point, his girlfriend, my son's girlfriend, left him. They'd been together several years. Very, very crazy relationship. But my grandson is now living with my son. And, you know, it was a honeymoon at first, right?
Of course.
You know, blah, blah, blah. But now my son has to lay down some rules, and my grandson, you know, he's 15.
Right. He doesn't like the rules.
He's never been a parent. He's never been a parent, my son. He's always been a weekend father.
Mm-hmm. So lots of transitions.
Yeah. So when the girlfriend left, at that time, my son was just getting over breaking his leg, so he's out of work for 6 months. So, of course, he had no money, he had no nothing, and he asked me to come and help. So, I'll tell you, I've been in sober recovery for probably 9 to 10, 12 years, somewhere around that length of time. I worked in my own codependency.
Mm-hmm.
And past hurts, habits, and hang-ups. So, you know, I think, you know, it goes forward a couple steps and then back. But every time, you know, my son doesn't want really my advice. And if I say anything, he feels like I'm stepping on his toes and trying to change his behavior when all I'm trying to do is help him understand that my grandson is watching him.
Okay.
Anna, are you still in the house with them?
Yeah.
Are you still in the house with them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
And for how long? Like, how long will you be there?
Well, I could be here indefinitely. I never really had intended to stay this long, but I've been kicked out twice by my son, and then asked back in because he needs help with this child because my son has to go to work now.
So, So, are you clear on what your son is asking of you, what he wants?
At this point, I feel like I've done what I needed to do, and that is get my son up and ready and running in school. Now, that being said, he still needs rides to doctors and rides to from sports, blah, blah, blah. I told my son he needs to figure that one out, because if you can't keep kicking me out and bring me back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder too, Anna, if you guys don't need a do-over. Like, you came in during a time of crisis.
Right.
And now what's happening is that the relationship has become all about this reactivity. And I wonder if we just don't need like a, okay, hard stop. This is where we were. And going forward, this is where we're going to go. And you know, through your work in codependency and recovery, you know that you have no control over anybody. But we like to exert control in those out-of-control situations. And this certainly seems like that. I think that the first goal would be safety for the 15-year-old, to make sure that mm-hmm. he has some stability. But, you know, I think... Go ahead, Dave.
Well, he's had a lot of instability. If he's been the subject mm-hmm. of a custody battle, he's been playing both ends
and
against each other.
That being said... So now, right now, see, that's where the problem, I think, is right now. So now my son's been bringing a woman into the family, into his bedroom at night. He's been drinking. He's back to smoking cigarettes. And my grandson is seeing all this, and he's, like, rebelling. And he's saying, you're doing this. And my son says, don't be telling anybody my business.
Mm. Well, so it's very hard to watch.
It is very hard.
I see my grandson and his anxiety building up.
Okay.
And his fear building up. And
Anna, are you
a counselor? But
okay, he is seeing a counselor. And do you have a good rapport with your grandson?
I have a great rapport with my grandson.
Able to just let him talk without jumping in and saying a lot? Like, can you be just a sounding board where he can unload some of the craziness that he's feeling? Because if can be that for him, that is a huge plus in his life. You can't change his dad and make his dad be the dad that he needs. But you can help him grieve that he doesn't have the parents that he has really needed.
And help him to get connected with...
That he thought he was getting.
Yes, it's a huge disappointment. He's finally going to be with his dad, and he has all kinds of ideas about that, and it's not happening. His dad is just in the next relationship.
And I would help him get involved with a youth group of some sort, whether it's, you know, Young Life or a church or somewhere where he can find community that he can thrive in.
Becky, that's really key.
Yeah.
And finding some male mentors, not to replace his dad, but like youth group leaders or through Young Life, they do one-on-one with kids. Mm-hmm. Like, it's imperative right now while he's still an adolescent.
Alternatives to what he's got.
Yes.
Right. And I think that's where his hope will come from, Anna.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I do understand that. But he is really reluctant to seek God because he goes, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and God won't answer my prayers.
Right. And, you know, so, you know what I think so many times, and it doesn't matter how old you are, a lot of times we just think all we need to do is pray and then we're going to have an answer. And what I think God wants us to do is pray and then walk in those steps that he's leading us in. And I think that's where the support of a community coming around him, where he can see some good male role models, and I'll actually help him through the grieving process like, you know, Jill was talking about.
Right.
It's not going to happen with you telling your son that he shouldn't be doing this because he's not listening, obviously.
Yeah.
And it creates more drama within the relationship when, you know, if you're, you know, any of that drama, you need to just like step out of the drama, be a sounding board for your grandson. And boy, you know what I was thinking is how powerful grandparents are in the lives of so many kids.
Such a huge difference, right? Because it's a different dynamic when you skip a generation, right? And so grandparents can get away with things that a parent can't. But Anna, I just want to add a couple more things in terms of the types of places where you can get him involved. A lot of churches do like adolescent life groups, so you could get him in a boys' life group where there are men leaders. I mean, that I know has been invaluable to my own son in helping him. And then, yeah, just that grieving that's so important to, you know, to be able to kind of cry with him and, you know, help him navigate how disappointing life can be. That for all of us, that's part of growing up, right?
Yeah, what it's so true, so true. The community is where the help comes from. What could we send Anna in this kind of thing? I'm thinking there's a part of me that wants to send How We Love Our Kids.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, well, there you go. Great minds think alike. let's go ahead and we'll talk to, let's see, there's so many calls. It's wonderful. We're going to talk to Arwen. Arwen, are you there with us?
I'm here, yes.
Yes, so good to hear you. Thanks for listening on the app. You're here with Jill, Dave, and myself. How can we help you today, Arwen?
Yes, so I have like a two-part question, I guess. My question is, how do I keep from becoming like severely attached to people like very quickly? Like the people in like my inner, like that are closest to my heart. And, like, what causes that? Yeah, so that's my question.
So, how has this been problematic for you?
Well, like, from a young age, I didn't have good attachments with my parents. Like, they were emotionally detached. My dad was, like, on drugs, so like I would tend to get really attached to like distant relatives if they like gave me attention, and so then I ended up becoming like an exotic dancer, and then Jesus saved me, thank God. And then just recently I had met a girl at my church. We both met in a recovery group. I was in there for codependence and she was in there for drugs. And we actually became like so close, like we were super, super close, and she was married, and but like she had a lot of problems. But anyways, we would talk like two or three times a day for like 2 hours a day, and it was like a good, pure Christian relationship. And she was like a mother figure to me, a sister, a best friend. But then, like God kind of stepped in and made us start having boundaries, and I didn't handle it well. So recently, I lost her, and. Aww. Now, like, I've been single for a really long time, and it's like, if a guy, like, if he just, like, gives, like, asks for my number, like, I already feel like I'm in love, and I already feel, like, so attached, and if they, like, text me, I don't want to be, like, a desperate person with no chill. Like, if they text me, like, I'll text back 1 minute later, and I just think that's, like, such a turn off to guys when you're, like, super available, so... It's causing me a lot of anxiety and, like, just I have, like, a lot of fear. I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds to me, Arwen, it sounds like you don't have a strong sense of who you are as an individual. Would that be true?
Yeah.
And that, like, when other people come into your life, you kind of go right towards them and whatever their,
taking on their life, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of becoming their twin. Thinking that you should be attached at the hip or constantly together. And twinship is really not the goal of any relationship. You know, in the beginning, any relationship, friendships, whether it be romantic or just platonic, there's a honeymoon period where it's really, really fun. And it's like you want to be around that person a lot. But you can, as you found out, you can squeeze the life out of a relationship by suffocating it. Because too much of a good thing is too much.
Well, the other part of that, too, is that they don't get to see who you really are. Mm-hmm. That you, because you have a lot to offer, Arwen, as a person. And I think that sometimes when we get too attached too quickly, it's literally the lifeblood is being taken out of the other person. And you benefit, but you're not benefiting in the long run because you disappear. That your sense of who you are doesn't fully develop.
Yeah, one of us is missing.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking a good book for Arwen would probably be How We Love, just to understand our attachment styles and to understand where that comes from. So we'll send that to you, Arwen. We are so glad that you called. you know, all of us have to find out who we are in Christ and develop that fully, because we have a lot to offer people, and we certainly don't want to disappear in our relationship.
Well, right. We have to have some separateness, right? Where
exactly.
We can stand alone in order to be connected to people.
Exactly. And we want you to stay connected to us. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back, and Merry Christmas
Eve. Those bells work.
Aren't they great?
I know. Yeah.
They have these bells on the desk. This is Becky Brown. I'm joined by Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. We're so glad that you are with us on the phone today. We're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Stephanie. Hold on just a second. I got two people on the phone. There we go. Wait a minute. You know, whenever they give me the keys to the car, it's really scary.
It's hard to drive.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you today?
Hi, I'm fine.
I'm glad you called. How can we help you?
To help me and my boyfriend of 23 years to find love again and to be happy.
Okay, so
23 years, and he's a boyfriend.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, we've never gotten married because we never really had the money. And I don't know, we never cut the issue.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, but 23 years is a long time. So, and is that 23 years of living together?
Yes.
Okay. So it's
we've only been separated for 23 years, like a year.
Okay.
We've been separated.
Okay. So you're living like you're married.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So well, and actually, Stephanie, your relationships lasted longer than a lot of marriages. So that says something. But it sounds like you're pretty unhappy.
Yes, we both are.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
But for the past 3 or 4 years, we're just at each other's throats. We can't even be in the same room together. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to the point where I don't cook. I'm just stuck in my room when he comes home from work.
Mm-hmm.
He throws words at me. I throw words back at him. It's like back and forth, tick and tack, all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to change my...
Let me ask you this, Stephanie. Is it about a particular subject or just anything?
Anything. Like, I'll try to talk to him about our problems, you know, tell him what's really going on. We need to fix this. If we don't talk about it, nothing's ever going to work out. We're just going to be enemies. That's what I feel like we're enemies mm-hmm. instead of together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He tells me I'm starting with him. He doesn't ever want to talk about anything.
How long has this been going on, this particular part of the relationship?
For the past 3 or 4 years.
And do you remember anything? Go ahead, finish that.
Before we had this house, he was, like, always breaking things. Like, because he worked for a moving company, and he would bring in nice stuff that people didn't want, and he would break it. He'd break everything. Mm-hmm. He'd throw TVs to the walls. We were able to literally, like, walk from the hallway to the restroom to the wall. We had no windows in the house. And
so he's got an anger problem.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And, Stephanie, my first question would be, are you safe?
Yes, I'm safe. He never puts his hands on me, ever.
Okay, well.
It's just for boys.
Sometimes words hurt worse than fists, mm-hmm. and I think that over a period of time, like you've been describing, that can be more damaging, actually. I would want you to be safe. And my other question is, who is around you guys? Like, who is your community? Who are your family, your friends, people who are part of this relationship?
My parents, his parents, his aunt, but they all just, like, so I know they tell him believe me that I'm no good. And, you know, my family and my friends tell me the same thing. They're not supportive of anything that we try to do.
Mm. And were they once supportive, or are they just non-supportive since problems have happened?
Since the problems have happened, they haven't been supportive.
Okay. So nobody knows what to do to help you, other than you should just leave.
Yes.
Right? Which is part
and
of... Go ahead.
I feel like his family, you know, I believe over the years they've been putting, like, things in his head. Like, they could... They don't want to get him or want him around if they're drinking and partying.
Okay.
And I'm trying to stop all of that because...
Okay.
I'm tired of that. I'm tired of being mad and angry all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
You know, Stephanie, I think one of the hardest things to do is make a right next choice. And mm-hmm. you're surrounded by a lot of dead ends. Not supportive, not life producing.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've been working really hard at trying to make a go of this for 23 years, but no one should live in that kind of chaos and pain. And, you know, I feel for you. I feel, you know, that it feels like everybody's against you. And I'm not saying that you're completely innocent or whatever, but I just don't hear the support that you need. And we'll talk more about this after the break, but, you know, it's really hard when we get into relationships that are difficult or get into difficult places to try to do something different.
Right. We create a pattern. And over 23 years, there's lots of habits and patterns that have formed that...
Right.
Now you guys don't know how to do differently.
Somebody from outside to kind of give you some guidance and wisdom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you started with us, and we're going to suggest where you go next.
That's right.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We just had a couple of ideas for Stephanie. You know, one of the things that we know for sure is when we try to make a move into a better life, like you were talking about, Stephanie, that the family is kind of partying and maybe you're trying to do something different. It's hard to make a step in the right direction surrounded by everybody who's still in the other direction.
Right, and, because they certainly don't want you to change.
Exactly.
Right? Well,
and not only that, but you get all this chaos going on that you're trying to maintain some kind of peace. And
sanity.
It's just craziness. Yeah, it is. But, you know, Jill, you and I were talking about, you know, how to make some good choices in the situation
and
like this.
So in making some good choices, if the people that you are with are not supportive, you need to find some supportive people to then bring into the mix. And it's hard to just make a change. Like everybody's telling you, just leave. I think you need to bring in supportive parts of your life that are life-giving, Becky, as you were saying, that will help you then decide and make the necessary changes. So,
right.
Because just leaving isn't enough. You need some good things in your life.
Got to have some place
right.
to go.
Right,
right,
right. So, but becoming part of different communities, like 12-step communities.
Get into couples counseling. You don't have to be married to do marriage counseling.
Well, that is true, too. And that would be a really good idea to
It'll
say.
It'll give you a new, a fresh look at some of what's gone on and understanding what's gone on and maybe open up a whole pathway for your future.
And yeah, yes, and to clarify what each person really wants, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. We're going to send you Take Your Life Back, Stephanie, and hopefully that will give
I
you
think
some,
that'd be great.
You know, encouragement. Speaking of taking our life back, Larry, are you in the studio?
Can you help us take our life back? You know, Christmas Eve, it feels funny telling people, please give on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Larry,
it does.
We've all just spent our wad on all
right. exactly.
gifts for everyone.
So call and give us a credit card number.
We don't have
anything
left.
No, I just want to say we do need your year-end gift, and I hope you will give. But I want you to, here's what I want you to think about. I've been thinking about in A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens. Scrooge is visited by these three spirits, and when those three spirits leave, he wakes up and he's a different man. He's jumping and he's doing things. Nobody's ever seen him like this. Mm-hmm. And in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, you know, Jimmy Stewart's character, George Bailey, he finds out what life would have been like had he not been born. And then when he kind of comes back into the present time and reality, he's a new man. He's got all kinds of problems still facing him, but he's a new man because he realizes what's important in life. And that's what happens when people engage with New Life at whatever level, whether it's a counseling appointment or a workshop, Dave's book that this gal earlier today called and
said, yeah,
what a great book that was, and whatever it is, that's what happens at New Life, and that's why we seek your support. And I just want to leave you with best wishes for a Merry Christmas, and see if I still have this passage, one quick little thing. Out of a devotional, it says, let's be glad and rejoice today. He has come. And remember the proclamation of the angel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. And Merry Christmas.
I love that. You know, it reminds me of my favorite Christmas hymn is O Holy Night. And the one line that says, the weary world rejoices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we could use some rejoicing. And I love the fact that we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and it is worth celebrating. And so, like we said earlier, if you are kind of in a slump and you need to have something to rejoice about, just know that Jesus loves you. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to live on this earth for you. And it can make all the difference in the world if you accept that gift. And, you know, here at New Life, we are firm believers in following Jesus Christ and wouldn't kind of shy away from saying that truth. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Well, thanks so much, Larry.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll have something in the big stockings, you know, from you.
Well, I hope you'll talk to Lisa. She's calling from Southgate, and that's the city I was born in.
Oh, so. Really?
Oh, really?
I want to hear what Lisa has to say.
Well, hi, Lisa. We're so glad that you are here and want to help you in any way. How can we help you today?
Yes, hi. Well, I had a question in regards to my marriage. I've been married for the past 12 years. We have been having some difficult times for the past six. There was infidelity by his part. I believe I got over it with prayers through my mother and my family and myself as well. But as those years have been coming about, he's been acting a little bit more strange. He's been into drinking more than what he used to. And he picked up a habit of using a drug. And now I just caught him that he's been texting this coworker of his off and on during his time of work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I questioned him and confronted him about it, he told me that, why would I even do that? Why would I even accuse him of stuff when it's nothing? And I'm just thinking crazy. And he just shut down, went on a rampage of drinking and coming home, using his drugs to stay alert. And
he just doesn't want to talk to me for the past week because it's all my fault that the relationship is deteriorating because of myself. So my question is, like, how can I speak to my husband for him to understand the pain that he's putting me through with all the stuff and the nonsense that he accuses me of ruining my family and hurting my kids because of what I'm doing?
I'm so sorry,
I know, Lisa. That is so painful. And it hurts so much to be so misrepresented by the person that you love and that, you know, in all intents and purposes, knows you the best. But you got to know that this is all about him deflecting away from what he's doing.
The best defense is a good offense.
Right, right. And this is the drugs and the alcohol and the addiction talking. You are dealing with an addict here who's just, you know, he got through maybe the last stint with the affair, but once you pick things up again, once you pick that bottle back up or that drug, even if that's something new, it's like you never stopped. So it has progressed. And so that's why it's deteriorating so rapidly. And so
I also think that the problem is that there's a lot of pain that you both are in. He obviously is
in pain because
he's using something to cover up the pain. And then you're in pain, obviously, because of what he's doing to you. And it is not your fault, Lisa. So if you hear nothing else, just know that this is not your fault. It's happening to you. And there are things that you can do to kind of disrupt this cycle. But he like Jill said, he's dealing with addiction, and that's a whole different kind of thing to deal with than just him texting somebody. This is a danger zone, so to speak. Dave? Well,
so get to an Al-Anon meeting, Lisa, because that's the best defense that you can get in terms of what's going on with him, is for you to begin to understand how he operates and how he doesn't function, really, because of the addiction. So find it.
And that's another thing is, you know, my daughter has picked up on this, and, you know, she's on her health class, and they are discussing codependency as far as alcohol and drugs and cigarette smoking and all that, and she's telling me all this stuff, and she's like, this is what my daddy's going through, you know, and
she's
needs help.
Yep, so, she's right.
Yeah, she's right.
So, Lisa, this isn't about...
Would that also help her?
Would that also help her?
Yeah.
They have
Alateen groups. Oh, yeah, and there's also Alateen.
For teenagers.
Which I meant to mention earlier with the previous call.
That's how you break the pattern from the generations, because if you don't, she'll end up marrying somebody just like her dad.
Right.
And it's amazing how that happens, and it's frightening.
But she's becoming aware.
And I married somebody just like my father. My father was not a drug user. He was an alcohol user, and he stopped 30 years ago. But my mom is going through the same pain that I'm going through as far as the abuse, the verbal abuse and all that.
Yeah.
And I don't want the chain reaction to continue.
Lisa, maybe you and your mom and your daughter all go to Al-Anon together. Like, find a meeting, and you guys all go. She can go to Alateen, and
she can go with her mom to the meeting.
That's right.
Yeah.
They got something to talk about after the meeting's over.
That's right.
So, Lisa?
Yes?
So I want you to be aware, then, because this is a repeat for you, right? There's going to be this need of you as a child wanting to convince your dad. Okay, now wanting to convince your husband that you're good. And you have to see that this isn't about you, and this is not the time to convince him anything about you. You will not get any logical understanding from him. You need to go to these groups to get the validation that you need to stand strong, to set the boundaries for him that says, sweetheart, we love you, but you need some help. We need to get the drugs out of your system, so then we can look at the other issues.
And I think a great resource for you will be a Life Recovery Bible. There's great devotionals, there's information about all the steps, but there's also this integration of scripture, which is going to go right along with those prayers that you've been praying, Lisa, and I know it'll make a difference.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are celebrating Christmas Eve by answering your questions and hopefully giving you some hope for the holidays. You know, that's a great gift to unwrap, isn't it?
Yeah, hope,
we are going
for
sure. We're going to talk to Leslie. Hi, Leslie. How are you? I'm so glad you called today. How can we help you?
Oh, I'm calling because I have a nephew who has to. His mother seems like she's mentally ill, like paranoia, schizophrenia type of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And he stays there alone. His father and his mother are divorced. No one seems to be concerned about him. They say that, you know, if he wants to take care of his mother, he can. And I don't think there's a place for a 14-year-old to take care of his mother.
If she's not fit.
Is the mom your sister or sister-in-law?
It's my ex-sister-in-law.
Okay. So your husband's sister.
Your ex-husband.
No. My brother's ex-wife.
Okay. The only reason why I was trying to get that family tree kind of...
So it's your brother that's the dad.
Mm-hmm. It's your brother.
Yes.
Where is your brother in this?
He says, you know his son loves his mother, and, you know, if he, you know, I can see that he can take care of his mother, and, you know, that his son can take care of the mother.
That's
my brother gives him advice and tells him what to do. And so I think he needs to be medicated or something, but I don't think that it's the child's responsibility to take care of his mother. Other people in my family disagree with me.
Hmm. Okay.
That's because they don't want to deal with it, and they've kind of palmed her off on him, and they don't care about the consequences of what that's going to do to him.
And he, that's my son, he was depressed, he told me, and it, you know, this week he sleeps all the time, he sleeps, you know, and it's hard to wake him up, and then he also goes to video games. He's into sports, but then he's alone with his mother, and she says people are trying to poison her, and something's going through the internet after her, and all these kind of things that I don't think that it's, like, for a 14-year-old to be trying to deal with.
You are correct.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
So, Leslie, what have you tried to do up to this point? Because it sounds like you're not getting any support from the family. Okay.
Oh, you don't even live near him.
No, I live out of town, and I was there visiting and found this out, and I said, you know, this is not a responsibility. She needs somebody to get her some help, but it's not the responsibility of her child to, you know, take care of her. And so, but, you know, she loves him, and she would never do anything to harm him, and, you know, she just...
True. But he needs a functional parent. He needs a functional parent. And what's her level of functioning? Like, has anyone evaluated?
She works? She hasn't been evaluated. She goes to work, they say, then she comes home and she just sleeps.
Okay.
And gets on the internet and, hello?
Yeah, we're listening to you.
She gets on the internet and she, you know, says people are coming in, moving things around her house and,
So what kind of job does she have, Leslie? What kind of job?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, so here's what I think.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get at. Is there any, I mean, if she goes to work, that's a certain level of functioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that she can keep her paranoia under wraps, you know, and just exposes it when she's at home in private.
At home. Right.
Okay. Well, so here's a couple... Here's a couple things, though. Because you're out of town, that's creating some stress for you as well, because you saw it, and then you had to leave, and now it's like, oh, my gosh, what is going to happen to this boy, right? Isn't that what your concern is, when everybody else around him is saying,
I come back like,
it's fine?
I'm scheduled to go back, like, every other month or so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, and I think, and I wonder if you can kind of influence your brother in getting more interested in his son's life, but also becoming that advocate aunt, whether it's you stay in touch with your nephew through texting or phone call once a week.
And when you visit.
And not just about his mom, not about that, but really just about how you doing, what's happening in school, and, you know,
we talk
just
about his sports and what he likes.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
But just so he knows that he has other adults, like if there were a problem, You know, he could call you, let's say.
Okay.
Right? He needs people he can call to talk through what to do. You may not be able to be hands-on, but if there were a real problem, you could help him call 911. You could, you know, help him maybe get the help he needs. Or if it's stuff that his mom can't help him with, like with school, you know, someone else to bounce it off of.
Right.
Right? So that he feels like he's not all alone.
And go ahead.
My brother talks to him every day, and they Skype, et cetera.
Okay.
And they don't live far from each other. That's good enough?
No.
No. Why isn't he spending time with your connection.
Yeah, your brother needs to be having eyeball-to-eyeball time with his son.
Go out and do stuff. Does he go to his sporting events? Does he take him to the movies? Do they go out to eat? They should be spending time together.
They do that.
Okay.
That's good. But you continue to do it, too.
I was just fearing for him because of the mother's, you know, attitude. It's, you know, she needs psychological help, and I fear for her too, not just for him.
Right.
Yeah, it is hard.
The best thing we do is just to be supportive.
Yes,
it's hard. It is a helpless role to be in. But until you know, there's something, you know, concrete. It's kind of on the border there of do you intervene or not. So you do what you can, and I would be talking to your brother about, you know, is the mom deteriorating? Does she need an intervention of some sorts? And will he help his son get that for his mom?
Yeah, and it's such a hard thing to be disconnected from distance, but then come in and see it and have people not
be alarmed.
Exactly.
But your brother can't leave him responsible for his mother because he's only 14 and she's going to become more and more handicapped until she finally loses her job.
Yeah, it's such a tough time.
Well, and it sets up for him. He's the parentified child being the caretaker.
Yeah. Right.
He's
right.
having to be the adult in the house.
Right. He's missing his tough.
Missing his childhood.
That's right. Well, we hope that something we said would encourage you, but also, for the whole listening audience, as we are celebrating Jesus' birthday today, I would love for you, Dave, to share something, something near and dear about this Christmas celebration. What would you like to share with the audience today?
One of the interesting things is that when Mary finally gives birth to Jesus, the angels come and announce that he's the Messiah and that. But for 9 months, the Lord has been silent. He told her what was going to happen, and then he went silent. And so all of a sudden, he was a great interrupter. God was the great interrupter who brought the reality to what happened in Bethlehem by saying he is the Messiah. He was born today, and it sent the shepherds who were the least likely to be the ones going to see the baby, because they were kind of the riffraff of the day. And God does it all backwards, but he did it for our benefit.
I love that so much. And I think of that, the Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, the Lord has come, and it is what we are celebrating. And I hope that all of our listeners can realize that joy in their life and the gift of Jesus. It's just pretty amazing that God would allow his son to come and live among us. It is certainly something worth celebrating. We here at New Life wish you a very Merry Christmas. Thank you, Jill and Dave, for being with me today and help me drive the car.
Thank you, Becky, for being with us.
It's always a pleasure. If you need anything, you can give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're there for you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.